Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья. Начинаем наш воскресный вебинар. Как всегда, в студии вместе с нами доктор
Михаил. Hello, we're starting our Sunday lesson. Kabbalist Dr. Michael Aitman is with us. Good afternoon. My name is Simeon, and here we're together with Boris, and the topic is thought is an upshot of the desire. That's the topic according to the Shamati article. Shamati article number 153. But before we really enter the topic, we had a lesson. Our previous lesson was about the was on the allegory about the king who gave his sword and shield to his son, and we got many questions in the chat and we didn't get to all of them, and we said that we would. Dr. Leitman, please, Simeon. I remind it's a story about a king and his son. The king gave as a gift to his son a sword that his son liked and also a shield as well, and the son didn't really appreciate the shield, and then the king took away both the sword and the shield from the son. And the son then made his own sword and shield out of wood and didn't really succeed with that, and then many questions came, and you explained that it was difficult. You explained very nicely. I recommend everyone to watch that show from last week. It's called What is a Sword and Shield in Spiritual Work? Do you want to go through it, or do you want an introduction? Dr. Leitman, what did they understand? Simeon, they understood from that. You're asking me? Maybe you could ask them. Dr. Leitman, what do they write? Simeon, we gathered questions here that were in the chat during the lesson. So the first question, a general one, of Igor from Moldova. What is a sword and what is a shield according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Dr. Leitman. The thing is, we are in our egoistic desire, a will to receive, a desire to enjoy, to be fulfilled. That is our essence. It's neither good or bad, it's our nature. If it's neither good or bad, so what should we do with that nature? And so we have a question. What should we do? In the framework of that nature, we constantly dissatisfied with ourselves, with our lives, our narrow, short lives, our lowly lives. We constantly have demands. They might be exaggerated, but these demands don't reach their fulfillment. So what should we do? Either lower our expectations and reach a state like animals, for example. Animals who are satisfied with whatever they have, and they as if they don't even build themselves houses. They don't need clothes. They have their fur maximum where that covers them. If they have family, if they have a family, they have couples only at the time when they need to mate, and then they go away from that, meaning they feel themselves very comfortable. Their demands from their nature, from themselves, from their environment are a lot less than our demands. And a person, to our sorrow, or maybe not to our sorrow, has such an ego, such demands that are amplified and exaggerated toward the environment and toward himself. And he is constantly encountering problems. He has great social needs, great personal needs. On one hand, it elevates him above that animal level. On the other hand, it also lowers him under the animate level. That is our problem. So what is the question? How can we, in that state, how can we attain not even a certain state, but if we not taking the example of animals, but how can we realize our full potential of the data that we have within ourselves? I have desires, intellect, meaning thoughts and a heart. I also have a lot of data, a lot of skills, talents that are received from nature. How can I optimally, even though I don't know the formula and I don't know what optimally means, but I would like to know, how can I optimally realize all this data that I have received from nature? And it's a big problem. And here, they invent for us this sword and shield. Meaning if I want to reach the highest degree of my development as it needs to be, what form does it need to take on? It shouldn't be limited by my beastly nature, meaning I need to reach a state where my body will not create a partition in any way for me. That is the first condition. The second condition, when I go to rise above this body and be above it, meaning above its demands, in a way which my demands for food, sex, family, knowledge, honor, all kinds of exalted, although egoistic pleasures, that it will not disturb me, that I'll be able to rise above it. I need a sword and shield for that. A shield in order to protect myself from whatever disturbs me and interferes with me progressing, and a sword in order to hack my way through this jungle as I need to. But I get this sword and shield, and I act with them,
то тогда я могу действовать правильно в мере своего уважения.
To the higher degree, and then I can act in a correct way. And then I can give my appreciation and respect to the shield and to the Creator from whom I received this sword and shield. The sword and shield mean two lines. The left line, the right line, with the forces of reception and bestowal, I slice my way through this path, which means that if I relate to this path without respect to the things, then the ego takes things for me, and those things that the ego takes start working against me. Here are these women from Oshka Ola are waving. Hello. That is our entire work, thanks to the sword and shield. With the aid of the shield, I am protected with the force of bestowal. I protect myself with the force of chasadim, the force of mercy, and with the sword I progress and beat my enemies with the Or Chochmah, the light of wisdom. That is the right and the left, where if I combine them correctly and move according to the middle line, then I attain the goal. Semyon, question. From Novosibirsk and also from Moscow. What does it mean that the sword and shield are connected, Dr. Leitman? The correct connection between the sword and shield, the qualities of bestowal and reception, are necessary. The correct connection needs to be there. I have no force of bestowal, that's the force of the Creator. But if I correctly act with the quality of reception, then I turn it into the quality of bestowal. Therefore, the sword and shield work together, and you cannot work with one and not the other. Question. The quality of protecting and not losing the sword and shield, how do I use that? Dr. Leitman, it's not a protective quality. It's the greatness of that quality of the person, if he's in our world, or the Creator, which give me a need and an opportunity to protect this sword and shield. Meaning, if I want to reach spirituality, I receive that sword and shield from the Creator, meaning the force of reception and bestowal. I balance between them correctly, and I move forward as such, from one step to the next, from one side to the next, in coming closer to resembling with the Creator. Question, how should have the son correctly used the sword and shield? Because the father left him without teaching him. Dr. Leitman, it's incorrect that the father didn't teach him. They don't leave him as a baby. But when he reaches such a state where he's capable of educating himself in his adult age in resembling with the Creator. Question. Why do we say that he didn't protect the shield, that the sword he did and the shield he didn't? Dr. Leitman, it's through his idiocy that he didn't know how to protect it. And in the end, when he lost the shield, so then it's also forbidden to use the sword. However, I wouldn't say that it's a good thing that we read this allegory. It's very difficult. This system is very complicated, where if a person is in it, then you could talk to him about it, and if he isn't, so then you can't talk to him about it. I wouldn't recommend taking the letters of Bala Sulam because they're in such a degree which is still not approachable to our level of understanding. Question. Today we took an article of Shamati. A thought is an upshot of the desire. Maybe we should go through that? Dr. Leitman, try, okay? Semyon. Should we read it or should you? Dr. Leitman. It's a clean translation without any shortcuts. Semyon, yes. Dr. Leitman, a thought is an upshot of the desire. That is correct, because the most important thing we have is the desire of a person, and thoughts come only in order to realize these desires. Meaning desires emerge from the heart. And we only listen to our heart, and the intellect is included and comes into that picture that needs to materialize the desires of the heart. So the most important are the desires and that tool in order to realize those desires is the mind, the thoughts. Therefore, one thinks of what he wants and does not think of what he does not want. And that is natural in our world. You could turn to any person and you could see, according to his desires, what he thinks. All his desires are directed only in implementing the desired thing. And only when there's this hierarchy of desires in him, so accordingly you can see, you can guess what are his more dominant and less dominant thoughts. What does he engage more in and what does he engage less in? In other words, desires control us. Meaning, for example, as Bala Sulam writes, a person never thinks of his dying day. On the contrary, he will always contemplate his eternity, since this is what he wants. Thus, one always thinks of what is desirable for him. If you suddenly have questions on what we're talking about, ask immediately. Put a question mark up. That's what's connected to desire and thought. Thought helps. It's secondary in importance. It developed only from that in which a person wants something. Therefore, he develops the mind in order to attain what he wants. Therefore, There is this thing where whoever is forced to do something, he becomes wiser because he seeks ways in implementing what he is forced to do. So the intellect constantly grows only when there are great desires. And on the contrary, if there are no desires, so there is no big intellect. Therefore, if you want to develop your children, you need to awaken big desires in them. Meaning, don't spoil them. Spoil, meaning that before he even wants something, to try to give him fulfillments. On the contrary, let him suffer a bit. Let him seek how he can realize his desire, because by doing so, the desire grows, and thus he develops. Simeon, I thought maybe to go on Dr. Leitman. However, there is a special role to the thought. It intensifies the desire. That is, it doesn't just implement the desire, it intensifies the desire. The desire remains in its place. It does not have the strength to expand and perform its action. Yet, because one thinks and contemplates on a matter, and the desire asks of the thought to provide some counsel and advice to carry out the desire thus grows, expands, and performs its actual work. In short, if I have a small desire, I will always put my thoughts onto it more and more and more. In the end, that desire will be dominant in me. It will be the determining desire. It will be the desire that will disturb me all the time, and I'll only think about how to realize it. So much so that the desire, we don't need it just in order to realize the desired, but in order to choose what we want, we will choose what we increase more and more until it becomes such a desire that I'll be dreaming about it, where I'll be thinking and dreaming, when will I get that desire fulfilled? It turns out that the thought serves the desire, and the desire is the self of the person. Now, there is a great self or a small self. A great self dominates the small selves. It doesn't just control, it can also swallow the small self, where the small selves can disappear under the influence of the great desire. Because we cannot see many of our desires. Before us is just one big desire, a certain big desire, and all the others as if exit our field of vision. He who is a small self and has no dominion whatsoever, the advice is to magnify the self through the persisting with the thought of the desire. So, for example, you have a few desires in your life. I want to earn a lot of money, to travel nicely. I want something else, maybe to get married, maybe something else. In short, normal desires, usual, everyday ones, human desires. And beside that, I also have the desire for the meaning of life, Kabbalah. And you're capable of controlling that. In other words, the more that you will read, know, develop by yourself those desires about the wisdom of Kabbalah, to that extent you will suddenly feel that these desires of yours they disappear in the background, and the thought and desire of the meaning of life become the biggest ones, and that's how it works. So the person is capable of filtering the desires, controlling them. He can direct and guide himself with the help of thoughts. Therefore, there are thoughts and desires. And as such, we can change ourselves. More thought about this, less thought about that. More desire about that, less desire about so and so. But that needs to be under control. and then we will control our future, our fate.
Поэтому сказано, что человек должен постоянно заниматься кабалой.
And so it is said that it is written that in his law, as he meditates day and night, for by persisting in it, it grows into a great self, meaning spiritual desires grow so much that they will dominate all the other desires. So what is the meaning of that advice, which demands of us to learn and engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah as much as possible? Because by doing so, you think about the meaning of life. Who is controlling you? How you can control this force controlling you? How you can bring about the best directions in your life? And as such, you will get rid of desires that are not so important in you. And the desires that will determine your fate, which really are faithful, they will be the important ones in your eyes. That is the article number 153 of Shamati, A Thought is an Upshot of the Desire. Semyon, yes, he really brought us through that whole thought of how the thought develops. Dr. Leitman, now we'll start with your questions. Plovdiv.
Plovdiv, au.
Plovdiv, hello. Plovdiv, hello. Where do desires come from and how can we determine what are small and big desires? Dr. Leitman, desires fall upon you from above and how you sort them out, that is up to you to determine. You need to enter an environment which will help you determine what are important and not important desires. It all depends on the environment you are in. Read the article by Bala Sulam on the importance of the environment. The importance of the environment you're in. Because the environment you're in determines your entire future. How is that article called?
Среда, она определяет.
In short, the environment. It's the freedom, yeah? Freedom of choice. So the environment is what determines your future. If you enter an environment which is correct and listen to what's going on there, integrate with its ideas, those ideas gradually become your own. And then with the help of that direction that you received, you start progressing. And then you take from those desires of yours the most important desires which relate to that direction, add your own thought, and then you're guided correctly. Semyon, question. Desires come from above. What are we, marionettes? And also the thoughts are also from above. Where is our work? Dr. Leitman, our work is in the scrutiny and the sorting out. What does it mean, dear Christina? Tell me. You suddenly want something. A desire comes. Where does it come from suddenly? If it's physiology, let's say, to drink something, to sleep, to do something physiologically with your body, then it's something clear. The body has its own inner rules and demands. And if it's thoughts that don't relate to your beastly body and suddenly they emerge from, so where do they come from? You tell me. Your desires, your thoughts, but they're not yours. You need to receive. You need to create this receiver of the thoughts and desires around you, and you need to assort them correctly, to receive them correctly and start working with them correctly, and not in any other way. So we all work with desires that appear in us. desires that surface in us and we start controlling them. That's what the wisdom of Kabbalah discusses. It's a wisdom of how to receive. You receive desires, you receive thoughts, and the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches you how to act correctly with them in order to reach good and the best and most comfortable state. A question from Kiev. I precisely wanted to ask that question in relation to the environment. Can you say practically, how can we find, for people who are not in that, how can we help them find a correct environment that can truly help them to scrutinize the thought on a good desire? Dr. Leitman, you first explain to people that their thoughts and desires are not their own. They will be firstly very impressed by that. They will start telling you things against that. And you will gradually explain to them how it actually surfaces in them. A minute ago, I didn't have a certain desire. Now I do. A minute ago, I didn't have a certain thought. Now I do have that thought. Where does that come from? Let's say you hear something on the phone or on the radio. That's one thing. But if it comes just from nowhere, or even if it is from some phone or from some radio, why does it come that way to you? In other words, all of us, all in all, receive like a receiver, like a radio receiver. But we have an ability within us to respond correctly. And that depends on what environment we're in, how to assort our thoughts and desires, and how, thanks to them, with their help, we can come to a rational response. Explain that to them. Another question from Kiev. Say, please, intellect or knowledge. Does it divide also into mathematic and also monetary? So it acts such and such on a desire. So what is the influence on the primary? What is the act on a desire, whether physically or mathematically, as if scientifically, in relation to the thought, or how do we choose certain desires over others, and accordingly determine our path, and nothing other than that, Vilnius. Question from Vilnius. I just started learning the wisdom, and suddenly I encountered problems. From my nature, I'm a very happy and optimistic person. And the sensation of happiness in Kabbalah gives me wings. I am very, very excited and happy. And when I started speaking with people online about the study, so most students have a very depressive mood. And there are lots of things that I say, it seems as if it's unsuitable for such people, that it even angers them. So what should I do with my feeling of happiness? Even now that I'm speaking after these lessons with friends here, I always have this desire to smile, and they're always so serious. So how can I adapt myself correctly, my desire to be happy and optimistic, Dr. Leitman? You understand, the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us how to rise above our nature. We see the world from within ourselves, from within our egoistic desires, with their help. And if something doesn't seem pleasant to us, we fall into anger, apathy, depression, etc. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains how we should rise above our ego. Then I'm in a state which is alert, ready to progress, connected with others. I'm helping them, they help me. Meaning, I need to just step all over my ego, not pay attention to it. But that's in the beginning. It's very difficult. But, and there is no person who doesn't surrender to his ego and falls under its pressure.
Но затем все выправляет.
He doesn't become sad from that. But he straightens up, moves forward, succeeds over that ego, rises above it. It all depends on how much we are tightly connected to the group. We're in the connections between us, we help each other. And we constantly increase the quality of the Creator, of bestowal, of love, a quality of exiting our ego, a quality of ascent above our ego. If we act in such a way and we illuminate such an example to others, even though we ourselves don't feel anything special, then we help our friends and then they help us, and as such we go through that period. That period exists, and it's not so simple, it's quite long. It's a period that we can be depressed under the ego's influence. It is called the exile in Egypt, the slavery in Egypt. How do you call it in Russian? We say exile, exile in Egypt. Where Pharaoh, meaning our ego, rules us.
It's a
very tough thought. They are already in that, you're not in that. So I wish for you, and you won't waste your optimism, and you will be able to insert it all the time. Keep trying to make them happy. Keep trying to show them the opposite, warmth and an awakening of spirit. And if they don't want to hear about that, then come to us. Thank you very much. That's how it is. Almaty. What a nice-looking group. Almaty. Hello, my friend here is ashamed to ask. It's her first time here. Dr. Lehmann, tell her thank you for a chance to ask. I really do thank her. The question is as such, why do they give bad desires to people? Negative desires, like to murder, and even more so, why do people like that, do they implement them? Why don't they assort them? Dr. Lehmann, a person is controlled. He has nothing of himself, even though in our world we punish people for bad actions. But really, no one is executing these bad actions. No one does them by himself. Truly, those actions are done from above, but through certain people, bad actions come, and through certain people, good actions come. It's the same path, one way or another. We will go through that. It's quite complicated, but it's not similar to how we divide people into good or bad. We, in any case, are under the complete providence, complete guidance from the upper. Another question from this man, another question from Almaty. Hello, Dr. Lehmann. The middle line, that's the middle between the thought and the desire. Dr. Lehmann. It's a middle line psychologically. That's not the middle line according to the wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom of Kabbalah, the middle line in that, is the quality of bestowal, where both lines are working in the direction of bestowal. We will learn that later, but in the meantime, you can accept that how I said it. Simeon, we have a few questions in our chat. Question. It's clear what happens with the desires, but if I have no desires, Dr. Lehman, what if you have no desires? So then you need to enter a group, sit among them, and listen with closed eyes. Simply to absorb, to listen. What are they thinking about? Integrate with them. Mingle with them. Meaning you can have such an opportunity where even without any desires, you can integrate with them and absorb everything they have. Simeon, question. What does the readiness for a correct thought depend on? Dr. Leitman, a correct thought is a thought that speaks about rising above your nature, because above our nature are the heavens. Above our nature is the nature of the Creator, wholeness, eternity, heaven. So above our nature, we need to rise. And our nature is the opposite. It's hell, the ego, evil, etc. I don't speak about good behavior or a good example. I don't speak about good behaviors. I speak about how we can rise above our nature so that today we can start feeling the Creator, the world of Ein Sof, the world of infinity, the eternal world, to be independent from life and death, but today, now, to start feeling our world as an upper world. To see forces acting in it. So that our life will not be under the reins of life and death, the limits of the body, but it'll be beyond the body. That's what we can attain. A question from St. Petersburg. Why do we need to rise above the desires of the body, food, sex, family, sleep, money, if these desires are under spirituality? They're not opposite to spirituality. Dr. Leitman, no, we don't need to rise above that. We're not speaking about battling with that. Simeon, but when you're saying rise above, Dr. Leitman, I'm not speaking about desires that nature awakens in us, but egoistic desires, desires that I get from nature, family, sex, food, knowledge, even honor, even wealth, money. I simply need to implement them rationally in order to reach an exalted goal of mine. I don't need to relinquish these goals in any way. Simeon, question. How should we know what desires we need to correct now and what desires we need to correct afterward? How can we not waste our energy on what we don't need to correct? Dr. Leitman, that's really correct. There are such desires that we cannot change for the time being, but really it doesn't matter. We can assort those desires only if we're in a group, only if we're in the group, and work on the greatness of bestowal, greatness of connection. That is called the greatness of the Creator, because the Creator in and of himself doesn't exist. There is connection, bestowal, love, that is the Creator. There's qualities, that's the Creator. So when I'm in a group and I work on those qualities, then I start properly scrutinizing my thoughts and desires that appear in me and working with them. Question. That's actually an answer to the question of what's the instrument for scrutinizing the thoughts and the desires. Dr. Leitman, correct. Let us now go to London. London.
Dear Dr. Leitman, we have a question from London Group. You talk about sorting the desires. What's best, to focus on sorting the desires of the friends, or to let the environment to sort my desires, to help me sort my desires?
Самое правильное это все-таки, когда я в группе,
What's most correct is that I'm in the group.
Когда я находясь в группе, получаю от них их мысли.
I'm in the group, and to receive the thoughts and desires of theirs, and by myself, I turn into being this supporter, a helper, even a slave of theirs. I'm ready to help them in any way possible to realize their thoughts and desires. St. Petersburg? Question from St. Petersburg. Hello, dear teacher, Semyon and Boris, World Clear. Question. Why does the Creator give a desire, but he doesn't give an opportunity to realize it? For example, my friend wants something and the Creator gives him something else. Dr. Leitman, the connection disconnected then. Can you ask again? Again, the question, do you hear? We hear. The question is, why does the Creator give a desire, but he doesn't give the opportunity to realize it? For example, my friend wants a family, and the Creator gives him something else. Dr. Leitman, we're not speaking about those desires, how to realize earthly desires. You understand, desires can be such that you can suffer your whole life because you cannot realize your desire to become a millionaire, a beauty queen, whatever you want. But these desires can bring you to nothing. We're speaking about how to properly scrutinize and sort out those desires and to choose from them the desires or the desire that goes towards the purpose of life. Why does that exist in our world and how to realize that desire correctly? The wisdom of Kabbalah engages only in that. It cannot help you realize desires for example, if you want to become a great composer. The wisdom of Kabbalah won't help you in that at all. The wisdom of Kabbalah isn't an instrument for achieving what you desire. The wisdom of Kabbalah helps you determine, out of all the desires that surface in you, those desires that are necessary, important, and which are most eternal, where if you realize them, then you really attain what is most important, not the temporary, but what is in all the worlds, in all of life. It doesn't matter what worlds you will be in. Meaning you don't need to think that the wisdom of Kabbalah will help you solve all kinds of your individual, concrete, specific questions. I want to get married. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah tell me about that? The wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't tell you anything about that. But if you will solve the main problems of yours, the longing for an exalted goal, then on the way, on the path there, all these other questions will also become solved. But it's not that you will solve them. You will solve your main problem, because in it is your free choice. All the rest is determined from the beginning. You simply accelerate your way to the purpose of creation, and thus you also solve all these secondary problems of yours. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't steal you to some niche and where you can develop there. It takes you to the most exalted, most important goal, and you will see how the rest becomes solved, because it all is part of your fate, because by that you awaken every other solution to every other problem of yours. Sochi, question. Are we capable, in our thoughts, to influence others? Dr. Leitman, I didn't hear you. Can you repeat the second part of the question? Sochi, question. What is the stronger thought, an individual thought or a group thought? Dr. Leitman. There is as if no power to an individual thought in relation to a group thought, which really becomes realized. Let's say now you're sitting there, nine people. If you would be correctly connected among yourselves, you will be capable of realizing every mutual correct thought of yours, which is directed optimally toward the purpose of creation. And if you will engage in some other thought, then in any case, that will also bring you to the purpose of creation, just through a more surrounding way. Everything ends up going to the purpose of creation, just through these alternative ways, through foggy paths, in more ineffective ways and in slower ways. There is a goal, and I can advance to it directly. But the more I am drawn to secondary goals, then it makes it a longer path. If I connect in the group to reach the goal, so then we advance in a correct way, and then all of our desires, thoughts, secondary things all become solved. You just don't think about them. Turn on your mic.
Включите микрофон.
Turn on your mic.
Сейчас. Давайте.
Здесь.
Now? Yeah, question. Question about the environment and the greatness of bestowal. How in the environment can we establish or stabilize, create correct desires? For example, corrupt doctors, corrupt politicians. Dr. Leitman, you cannot solve those questions because you're not in the degrees where you can do that. You don't have a 10 yet. When you have a strong 10 and you start solving the questions among yourselves in a successful way, then you can take problems from the wider circles and solve them also among yourselves. And as such, direct that more surrounding environment, which is weaker and not organized, with the aid of your 10. But you're still not in that degree. You need to reach that first stage of connection among yourselves before you start thinking about correcting others in the world. You first need to think about correcting yourself. Semyon, there are many questions in the chat, Dr. Leitman, so let's go to the chat. Question. Prepare more questions, maybe we'll get through them. Question from Russia. When you have a certain thought that is directed against the Creator, but you try above it to activate a thought for the Creator's benefit, how can you activate a correct thought for the Creator's benefit in the strongest way possible? Dr. Leitman, only through the group. Write to yourself on your forehead or on a piece of paper or on your phone the answer to each and every one of your questions is always in the group and not in any other place. I always need to turn to the group, and in the group I will find a solution to the question. Why hasn't Moscow asked the question today? What's going on? Nothing. Seems like there's some lady there who's not there today, who usually asks questions, and also the guys there aren't asking anything. Semyon, there's a question from Kharkov. A great desire can overcome a small desire. A big thought can also overcome a small thought. Dr. Leitman, certainly, that's exactly what happens. Like they say that a big fish eats a small fish. A question from Medellin.
Medellin задали вопрос. Прислали его в чате.
Yes, the question from Medellin, which they asked in the chat, is how can we hold a correct desire towards the friends? Dr. Leitman, I'm incapable of doing that. Neither good desires nor bad desires, I cannot hold them. They appear in me, go through me. If I use them correctly, then I progress. If not, so then one desire replaces the other desire, and then I'm constantly under their influence. Dnieper. We don't hear you. Do you hear us? We hear you. Hello, have a good week. I am new in the group. It's a great honor to join the group here in Dnieper. I have partially received an answer already. In desires toward the purpose of life, is it worthwhile seeking for balance between the corporeal earthly desires and the high exalted things? Dr. Leitman, certainly you need to find balance. Question. So, is there some kind of middle balance qualities there between the upper things and the everyday things? Dr. Leitman, you acquire all that during the correct study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Then you start seeing that the most important thing for you is attaining the meaning and purpose of life, and everything else is secondary, only in order to hold your beastly existence. That's how it works. Nur Sultan.
Добрый вечер, Раф.
Добрый вечер.
У меня вот такой вопрос. Можно ли таким образом,
question,
например, схитрить, да,
реализовать
личные желания?
Нет, на realize my individual desires.
Но тем не менее, ты знаешь,
sorry, to implement my group desires, but you yourself know that you in the end want to realize your individual desires. Meaning, can you be like sly to lie to yourself to implement group desires while you're actually doing your individual desires? Dr. Leitman, certainly you can, but you'll just be lying to yourself and not to anyone else. Nothing will help here. You can also give conditions to the Creator. I won't do it, you can do it to me. You can put any condition you want to the Creator, but in the end it won't help you. In any case, you will return to the state you're in, and you will need to progress correctly forward. The meaning is through the group and through a tighter conditioning with it. Maybe we should do something with Yesh Corolla? That's good. Question. In the name of our entire group, we would like to scrutinize the article from the morning lesson. They spoke about how a woman internally can give her deficiency to her man. Many women here wish for their husbands to get closer to the Creator. So what is the essence of that action to pass on a desire? Dr. Leitman, if a woman wants something from a man, she can always attain that, always. That's how the world is built. That's how it's built. The female desire does not become expressed in every way, but you can, you yourselves know how to act on men quietly, without opening your mouths, in a way where he will feel that he will get a blow on his head. That's a correct act on behalf of the woman. It's built that way in nature. We men need to agree with that and also be happy that there is such an opportunity in the woman to direct us correctly to the goal. Therefore, if a woman wants her husband to progress to the revelation of the meaning of life, so that woman certainly is very special and is a great woman. So we need to really appreciate such women and bring them as an example to everyone else. And certainly in some way help so that their husbands will also appreciate them and that they will listen to them.
Ну тут перебор.
Who is unmarried? I recommend any men. But can there be no such balance in some imbalance with that? Is the question? No. The woman knows exactly what to do in relation to her husband. If the woman is directed to the purpose of creation, then she would be capable of directing her husband. It's very interesting. The man implements and the woman directs. Question. They say that the man is the head and the woman is the neck. And she is the one who spins the head. Dr. Leitman, if you ask our friends, you will always hear, in my experience of more than 40 years, even more than 40 years with the family, the woman surrenders to the greatness of the creator, greatness of the goal, who surrenders to it under the group, so then it passes on to the husband. And if the the female desire is what determines here, because thanks to the woman force in the world is much stronger and much more determinant than the male desire. So you choose your friends and the right women, and you will succeed. Question from Chelyabinsk. Hello. A person who yearns for spirituality and gets this thought to progress with his own forces, and then he discovers that he has no forces, and then he can work against it. How can he do that? Dr. Leitman, with the help of the group. Question. Correct. But on the one hand, it's as if I have no powers, and on the other hand, I have a group that is directed at the goal. How can I not lose the center of the desire of the group, Dr. Leitman, because that's a you need to protect each other, hold on to each other, look at each other so that no one's diverting, and really hold on to each other. That's a necessity. As such, you'll be able to hold on to that ship and not overturn it and progress to the goal. What does it mean, progress to the goal? It's a progress to the center of the group, to increasing connection and unity, where that mutual connection of yours, that mutual coming closer among yourselves, that will bring this compression, and in that you'll discover the Creator, precisely in the group. So constantly you progress more and more inwardly, internally, one towards the other. And as such, you will see that that is your salvation, and you won't err in that to your success. Nikolaev. A question from Nikolaev. Good afternoon. Say, please, how is it correct to scrutinize my thoughts and desires? What are the criteria for the correct assortment? Dr. Leitman, you need to scrutinize that among yourselves. And you can listen to our lessons, you can read about that. We have a great quantity there. You'll get lost in there. I don't know what to do with our archive. You can scrutinize that among yourselves in order not to get too confused. Take articles, read them, implement them in a systematic way, and you will see that gradually you will start revealing a healthy approach. Only in this scrutiny among yourselves and in the reading of the sources. Semyon, I myself alone cannot scrutinize. Dr. Leitman, no, you won't succeed. The group can partially succeed. That says something. That one person says something, another says something, and then when you try to do it between yourselves, then the Creator already controls you in a concealed way, but he controls you through the one, through another, through the third. Then you'll see that there reveals here this healthy upper thought, and that's the Creator that comes in, and you'll feel that. Boris, two announcements and we're done. We're inviting all of you to an introductory lecture on April 18 in the Moscow Center. An online course has started, the Fundamentals of the Wisdom of Kabbalah.
Ваше пожелание, может быть, задание на неделю?
Задание на неделю, оно очень простое.
You can say about your...
Происходит выяснение, подготовка, что же такое является...
Homework for the next week. Dr. Leitman, the homework for the next week. We can scrutinize what is the exile from the spiritual world to our world. We are now studying that, and I very much recommend to you take our lessons and simply watch them. Every morning lesson is 2.5 hours, and it speaks only about one thing: how to exit from the feelings of our world to the feelings of the spiritual world. That's what we need to do. Be together with us. I embrace you all, that you will all have it good. And the main thing is spiritual ascent. Goodbye.